You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I have Dexter Lau, the CEO of Kim Tek Cheong Consolidated Berhad, distributor of consumer packaged goods in East Malaysia. Good morning, Dexter. Thanks for being on The Breakfast Grill today.
Good morning, Mel.
So you were on the grill, I think, just after your listing in November 2015. So you came on in December. So it's good to check back in with you to see what you've been up to in the past year and a half or so. For those who missed the first interview, maybe you could start with a brief introduction as to the background of the company. You're based in Kota Kinabalu, Sabah.
We are a consumer packaged goods distributor for the region of East Malaysia and Brunei. We have achieved a lot of milestones. First is that we are a 79-year-old family business. And then I am the third generation. And the business has been transitioned to the third generation successfully and peacefully. At the same time is that we distribute to about 8,000 distribution points, including our recent acquisition of Brunei segment. And at the same time, we have about 21 distribution sites, which is DC, across East Malaysia and Brunei. And we're covering about 80 over its district and region. So I think that is something that we are quite proud of.
8,000 distribution points and 21 distribution centres. What's the difference between a distribution point and a distribution centre?
Distribution points is the number of customers that we serve. One shop or one retailer considered as one point. And then you have 21 distribution centres. It's like I would have 21 hubs servicing a few allocated customers that I have.
So KTC's main revenue stream comes from the distribution of third-party brands, which makes up about 95% of group total revenue. Talk to me a bit about some of the brands that you distribute, because the list from when you first listed has grown tremendously today.
Yes, basically is that we distribute products like P&G, which is it carries brands like Gillette, Dynamo, Rejoice, Pantene, Downy. These are the more renowned brands. We distribute Coca-Cola. We distribute Kimberly-Clark. We distribute GlaxoSmithKline, which carries Panadol. We distribute L'Oreal Professional products, which is more beauty lines. And then we have food products like Ayamas. So we carry quite a wide range of products for the territory. Recently, we have added a few more post-listing that we have added Anaku, we have added Kopiko, we have added especially new territories, which is awarded by P&G, which is for Sarawak and Brunei. So we are not stopping. We just continue to build on our portfolio.
So are there any criteria that you look for when you're building this list of brands, or do you just whatever you can take, whatever you can negotiate with these suppliers?
Mel, I have to be entirely honest with you. This is something that I've been thinking, you know, ever since I listed the company. Ever since I listed the company, this is something that it keeps me thinking in a way that what is the criteria, especially when the dynamics of the family business have changed, where we have governance, we have rules, we have so many things that we need to consider, especially when we need to report on a quarterly basis in terms of performance-wise. We also need to understand that who are the suppliers that we want to work with for long term, or who we want to work with closely in terms of to help KTC for the next 5 to 10 years. So these are the things that I'm consistently thinking. Even though I'm still thinking now, I think it's a very good question.
What's the debate in your mind? Talk me through it. I mean, what are you debating in your mind when it comes to the criteria?
Because before listing and after listing, that's where you clearly, you are more focused on your financials. You are more focused on the numbers. Whereas before listing, basically everything is like, you know, basically it's not public. No one will question you. No one will tell you what you need to do. And there's no funds, there's no bankers, there's no shareholders, you know, coming to your AGM and start questioning you a few matters. But what is debating in my head now is that whether this particular suppliers will be with you for the next 5 years or the next 10 years to come, would they be able to add value to you? Would they be able to help you? Would they be able to help you in a way, you need to decide, you need to think that whether this particular supplier is giving you horizontal growth or vertical growth. So these are the things that we need to be, something that I need to, on behalf of the company, that I need to think about it. Or this supplier is coming to you, it just basically wants to use your infrastructure and then use the infrastructure and expand as fast as possible.
To penetrate the market.
To penetrate the market. And then in the end, they may not be able to add value to you and they may just use you.
Dexter, what do you mean by vertical growth versus horizontal growth, specifically in the KTC case?
Basically, horizontal growth, I would say that they continue to expand their product category. Basically, they will just continue to expand. They continue to grab market shelving shares in a way in a way that to help you to strengthen their sales, in a way they will strengthen yourself. Vertical growth, basically, it will help you to penetrate into more territories. Suppliers that who are open to wants to work with you because they like your managing style. They will want to say, hey, can you help me to distribute our products in a certain new territories that which is not in my current portfolio at the moment. So that's where I would define it as my vertical growth and my horizontal growth.
I'm speaking to Dexter Lau, the CEO of Kim Tech Cheong Consolidated Berhad. After this, we find out how this 79-year-old company plans to keep on growing. So stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9. Good morning. If you've just joined us on The Breakfast Grill, Dexter Lau is here with me this morning. He's the CEO of the Sabah-based consumer packaged goods distributor, Kim Tech Cheong Consolidated Berhad. Just before the break, Dexter, we were talking about your relationship with suppliers. As a consumer packaged goods distributor, you are dependent on your suppliers. And it looks like you're more dependent on some compared to others. 60% of your financial 2015 purchases came from three key suppliers, Coca-Cola, P&G, and Danone Dumex. So talk to me a bit about the importance of maintaining a good relationship, because if I'm looking at your breakdown, you've been the distributor of Coca-Cola products since 2014. You've been with P&G, I think, for a long time. You've had a 30-year relationship with them. And Dumex with for about 8 years now. So these are long-term relationships. This hasn't been cultivated overnight.
Yes, it is, of course, important to maintain the relationship. Like what I mentioned earlier on is that we must have the same mindset. We must have the same goal that we want to chase after. At the same time is that, like what I mentioned, in terms of supplier selection itself, the supplier must be able to add value to the Berhad itself. So with a better relationship, in a way, will translate to, of course, business growth. Like what the Chinese always says, good relationship, no arguments, no disputes. Definitely the business will prosper.
Well, is there a risk of heavy dependence on these three key suppliers? I mean, so much of your purchasing lies within these three companies.
Well, the suppliers, in a way, we are in it for business. I don't think that the suppliers would want us to lose money. And definitely we need to make business, and they also need to make sure that we make money. I don't think that it is more on the dependent. I felt that it is that we can provide more focus to them so that we can actually do well. There's really no point to be a jack of all trade in terms of or a brand collector. You collect a lot of brands to distribute, and at the same time that you lose focus. So I think that will be what I truly feel.
What do you mean by lose focus?
Basically, it's one thing that I noticed that when you dependent on a few of the customers or a few of the suppliers that I have, what you can do is that you can actually provide them with more focus to actually help to build their business in terms of in that territories. Okay. So you will continue to work with them because they are in the same wavelength and you have identified and you have recognized that they will come in to add value to you. And instead of we are afraid that, you know, they will become dependent, we dependent on them, or their business volume size is actually holding a certain chunk in my portfolio. Instead of being afraid, I would say that I see it as a good sign that we can focus. And then if we focus, I tell you what, if one day you have Mel, if you have your own brand, if I really focusing on your brand and I'm doing well, I don't think that, you know, I think the relationship and the business would definitely prosper.
Dexter, paint me a picture of the distribution of consumer packaged goods in East Malaysia. That market, do you have a big market share of that, of the current landscape?
I think I have quite a decent, I wouldn't say I have a big market share.
Are you talking about the high end or low end of double digits?
I would say I have a very high double digit in terms of market share for that region, but decent, I would say, decent. Let's be humble.
So we're talking about both Sabah, Sarawak and Brunei?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so you're looking at decent double digit market yes. share of these of this. Okay. So moving on from third-party brands, taking a look at your own brand, you also distribute your own brand, but it only brings a tiny portion of your revenue compared to how much the third-party brands bring in. Can you explain a little bit about the current brands that you distribute right now, the ones that you own?
I own two brands. One is my bread, which is we manufacture ourselves, which is Cremos. And at the same time is that we have our food category brand, which is called Ori. So these are the two brands that which we currently own, and then we are marketing it ourselves. And then to the questions that you asked, Mel, just now in terms of relatively still small, is because that our own brand will never be able to catch up to the acquisitions that the aggressive expansion and the acquisitions that we are currently exposing to, because
right.
there's growth, absolute dollar value. Definitely the business has grown in terms of our own brand and also our own manufactured brand.
So why have your own brand? You talked just now about being a focused company. So when you have your own brands and your own bakery production line, you've got your condiments production line. So why produce products under your own brand? And why not just focus on being the best third-party distributor there is?
We believe that there are a few things that there are a few things that in my mind now, in terms of how to drive KTC forward. There are a few factors in terms of first is that I need to protect my revenue, my revenue in my P&L. I need to, of course, increase my GP. At the same time, is that of course I need to make money. So with my own brands, I'll be able to increase and beef up my GP margin mm-hmm. in a way, because of course the margin is actually bigger.
It's a lot higher for your own brand.
So
right?
that will actually benefit in terms of my GP, in terms of my gross profit margin itself. On the other hand, what I see is that because as I continue to walk the market, I noticed that there are certain products that we can sell. There are certain products that we still can help the company to beef up some of the revenue source. However, is that we may not want to ask, or I may not want to distribute third-party brands. We may eventually come up with our own brand, working with suppliers to actually complement our current revenue or our current revenue source, or complement our sales, so that we can also have our own organic growth, not just having said that we have our supplier or our third-party brands.
Do you have a timeline in your head of when you want to achieve this?
We are actually doing it now. We are doing it consistently. We're working with manufacturers or suppliers, especially the smaller suppliers that they may not be able to afford to go into East Malaysia. So what happened is I partner with smaller suppliers to actually co-pack OEM, so that with our own brand, they get the volume, we get the penetration, and then to complement ourselves so that we can actually penetrate into East Malaysia itself.
So what's going to be your forte? Are you looking at food products? Are you looking at household consumer goods? What do you think the forte will be?
I feel that food will be quite exciting. Food is something that I pretty much think that KTC can do well. So far, we have successfully transformed the company into the ratio in terms of food and non-food distributed products is more or less on a 50-50. If not, food is actually getting bigger in my portfolio itself. So that is a sign that KTC is doing quite well in this particular area as compared to my father's days where you have a lot of non-food.
Mm-hmm.
It's more beauty, it's more non-food products. We still do a pretty much a good job in this area. We still have a lot of non-food products, but it seems that the food products is actually doing much better, especially with the current economy sentiment
right.
that we are, which I noticed.
Are there specific challenges, Dexter, when you are a Sabah-based consumer packaged goods distributor? Are there challenges specific to operating and distributing products in East Malaysia?
I do not see that there is any specific challenges.
Transportation cost and warehousing be a lot higher?
I believe the cost and also the infrastructure will be more or less the same across, especially when we are all captured in, we are all still in Malaysia itself. That is something that I notice. In terms of people behavior, the demographic of the people and the consumer and everyone, I believe that it is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the only challenges on top of my head, it's very much the people behavior, the managing of the people, and also the way that how things are run, the geography of the terrain and how the products needs to get from A to B, A to Z, from my warehouse to the particular retailer's place. It can be a bit slightly different, which we need to learn, and learn in a way that we need to make sure that we find the most cost-effective way to match what is the best-in-class coverage plan that we may possibly have achieved.
And that all comes with the knowledge of being in East Malaysia, of having that history, being based in Sabah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, talk to me a little bit about Brunei, because earlier this year you bought a 60% stake in a Brunei distribution company called Grand Top Marketing, your first venture out of Malaysia. What potential do you see in the Brunei market?
I very much feel that a lot of people still think that Brunei market is a relatively small, especially as a small country. I pretty much think that it is a country that it is still, we need to go and harvest it in a way, because infrastructure, the people, the corporations and the company entering into Brunei is very limited, and is perhaps maybe it's not often that anyone that enters Brunei or any big companies. So I felt that with our infrastructure, with our way of managing, with our system, with our managing style, entering into Brunei, we may be able to reap some low-hanging fruits in terms of cost savings, efficiency. So at the same time, is that all the processes and all the managing of a distribution company are all standardized across, and they have their costs, we have our costs. So a lot of synergy that we can actually plow in together to actually get some savings, and all that benefits into our bottom line.
So you see Brunei as a way to achieve economies of scale as well at the same
time? Yes, yeah. Yes, Mel. The word should be economy of scale in terms of consolidation itself. Yeah.
Let's take a look at some of the financial aspects of your company. I'm looking at your share price at the moment, 28 cents. It's roughly around the same levels of when you went for listing about a year and a half ago. And at that time, you said the IPO price was undervalued because it was oversubscribed by 45 times. How do you feel about the current levels at the moment? There doesn't seem to be a lot of movement in your share price in the past year.
There are a lot of movement. There's a lot of movement in terms of, especially when it first listed and, you know, everything got hyped up kind of thing, which is, you know,
at the start of January 2016, yes, there was a lot of movement there.
Yes.
But now that it's fallen back to roughly the levels that it was when it first listed, how do you feel about that?
Basically, I'm not too concerned about the share price, especially for a young company there who just got listed, which is about one year ago in terms of listing wise. I've learned one thing, that I should not be bothered about the share price too much. I think I should, and especially now, I feel that I'm doing the right thing now in terms of how do I build KTC stronger. And it has demonstrated that we are not stopping, we are still growing, and we actually put in a lot of investment. Especially in the state of Sarawak, we have actually expanded our warehouses and our infrastructure 4 to 5 times, in some cases, in some of the areas, from zero to something. In terms of in Sarawak, and especially now we have Brunei as well. So those investments will help KTC in terms of vertical growth in terms of strengthening that we can actually grow faster and we can actually grow stronger.
But what about the shareholders who bought in at listing, expecting the share price to grow, in fact, expecting dividends? I think there's been no dividends paid since listing, but when you were first listing, you said, you know, you're confident that you could give a payout of at least 20%. What's happened there?
During the last AGM, there are shareholders that who came to our AGM as well. I think a handful of the shareholders actually came in as well. They actually asked me the same questions as well in terms of Dexter, what's happening? You know, why dividend? Da da da. There's quite a bit of questions in terms of ask. Let me give you a nutshell in terms of the questions asked. First is that the dividend. Second is that, you know, is the company growing? Why are there so much reinvestment?
Right. Where's that money going to?
The money is actually going to strengthen our infrastructure, especially when we are penetrating big time into the Sarawak and also into the Brunei. So what happened is that the company is reinvesting those monies and those profits that we earn into strengthening those infrastructure. So that we do not have any disruptions, especially when we are entering into a new territories for the first time, and this is our only time that we can demonstrate that we are a stable company, that we do not have much frustration. So we actually uses a lot of investment. We use a lot of money to invest in to ensure that the stability is in place. Especially when, just quote you an example, when PNG appointed us and we entered together, we take over Sarawak, we actually achieve to date a double-digit growth in terms of ever since that we taken over the business from another distributor and, of course, with the opportunity given by PNG. So those are the results that that we can deliver using the investment that we put in. And so that was also something that I communicated to the shareholder.
Okay.
And then
were they satisfied with that answer, Dexter?
Yes. They actually even asked me a lot of, they even asked me in terms of, Dexter, you know, why are you doing this and da da da. I said, I explained them truly as well. I said, why is the share price is not moving up? In terms of the shareholder will ask.
Right, yeah, because, you know, the share price is seen to be a vote of confidence from the marketplace, and it's been quite stagnant in the past year or so. Dexter, so when are you looking to reward loyal shareholders?
We actually, we already start tossing ideas with the board already. I think the last board meeting that we had, we were tossing ideas. We are not ignoring whatever the shareholders has been asked. We actually tossed the idea. I believe that with a couple of board meetings up and coming, this would be the main topic that we discuss about. I that is something that I can review so far.
I've been speaking to Dexter Lau, the CEO of Kim Tik Cheong Consolidated Berhad. Thank you so much for being on The Breakfast Grill. Good luck with your
Thank
company.
You. Thank you.
I'm Melissa Idris for The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.